welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your host Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And this is Ted Brewer, of course, today. And I'm so glad you were with us. And thank you again, Austin, for being on here with me, because it's so much easier when we have two of us who are doing this together. It really, really is. You know, Austin, I was doing my research today, and I was online, and I came across a few sayings that I want to read on the air today that are pretty good. Some of them were a little bit twisted, so I had to change them all, but the authors were unknown, so I'm not taking credit for them. But I kind of want to read these online, because it's like, kind of like the Bible verse of the day, but it's kind of different because it kind of tells you what to do as far as attitude. And so if you'll indulge me for just a second, Austin, let me read this, and then I want to talk about this.
Okay.
It is not happy people who are thankful, but rather it is thankful people who are happy. Isn't that interesting? In other words, before you have happiness, you have to be thankful for what you already have. Because some people never, ever, ever have enough. Here's another one. The day that I decided that my life was blessed, suddenly there were blessings all around me. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Okay, I can tell you're not in the mood.
Well, I don't know if I'm getting a little bit of feedback back and forth. Off. You got your headphones on?
I do have my headphones on. So I can
hear. Okay.
And here's another one. Don't complain. Have gratitude. Be thankful, for you are blessed by the Most High God. That's one of mine. And here's another one that I changed almost completely, but it's not my full one, so I don't want to give myself credit for it. A gratitude and a thankful, receptive heart will always turn what you have into enough and into more. It turns denial into acceptance, and it will create order out of chaos, confusion into clarity. It makes sense of our past, and it closes the doors to past hurts. It brings peace for today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. The author on that one's unknown. And here's another one that I wrote. For indeed, a grateful heart and a thankful, receptive heart will allow you to make the decisions that will determine your future. They will help you to allow God to create a vision for your life. For the book of Proverbs says, without a vision, my people perish. A heart and life that is allowed to be directed by God will be a grateful, thankful, and receptive heart. And that life will be bathed in love. You will be blessed by the Most High God all the days of your life, and you will walk in abundance, and your dreams and your visions will be fulfilled. That's what I wrote. So I thought you guys would like those today, because I was in one of those retrospective moods today, and I started thinking about a lot of things in my life, and I want people to realize it's not what you have that makes you somebody else. It's not. I mean, all stuff does is make you more of what you already are. The example being with Judas of Iscariot. I mean, he had a goal to get 30 pieces of silver, but then after he got the 30 pieces of silver, he wasn't happy with what he had become. He become a traitor. So, you know, live your life of honesty, of character, and just do what you say you're going to do for folks, and just be blessed, because God's up all night anyhow, so you don't have to sit around worrying about stuff, because he's going to take care of you all the days of your life. And I really felt somebody needed to hear those things today, Austin, because remember, a grateful heart, a happy heart, a receptive heart, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. What's your first story, Austin?
Well, first I wanted to touch on the metals a little bit today. I saw they were spiking pretty significantly yesterday with the market, and silver is up now right around 1620 today, up another 40 cents an ounce per opening, which is quite huge. And so there's definitely quite a bit of things going on. I saw that the meeting between the Federal Reserve head and the Vice President and the President of the United States was going on this week, which was pretty odd. But I found an article that Stephen Quayle put up yesterday, and he wrote this, and I don't know if this is accurate or not. I know Steve is pretty well-versed in the metals market. He's got a lot of good stuff on his website, and he's usually pretty cautious before he puts stuff out. So I went off what he said on this, and he said, from what is they're being told right now, on the 19th of April, which is this month, China will announce a gold-backed yen on this date. He said, consider, if you will, the outcome of the Chinese gold-backed yen when Chinese releases their true gold hoard numbers to the world and allow independent audits. he said real world numbers of those in the know, basically from people he's talked to, and these numbers that are not being published, he said they're estimating anywhere between 19 and 29,000 tons of gold. He said strategic deception by the Chinese in stating very low numbers of tonnage have enabled them to acquire gold and silver at historically low prices over the last 5 years. And he basically thinks that they have a significant amount of gold hoarded. Whether or not that is true, I do not know. I'm just going off what he's writing. But if he is accurate about that, and the Chinese really do come out with a gold-backed yen next week and say they have it backed by, you know, 20, 25, 30-plus thousand tons of physical gold that are independently audited, that's going to be a game-changer for the entire world currency, especially the United States dollar. So it's going to be something interesting to watch, and that's why I polled people the last couple of days. I looked into getting some yesterday. I'm going to watch the market again today. I'll probably pick up some more silver today or tomorrow, depending on what it does. But it's definitely, this could be the bottom end of silver and gold now for a while, because it'll be very, very difficult to artificially manipulate even the paper metals if China starts stating that they have a massive amount of gold backing the yen.
Well, the yuan, the Chinese yuan, is an interesting currency because, it's another Rothschild currency. That's the thing that's weird about all of this. Now,
right.
whether they're getting rid of the Rothschild bankers like Putin's trying to do or not, I don't know. But some of the rumors that are swirling around this meeting in Washington with Yellen and Biden and Obama, which is very rare, by the way, for the president and vice president to meet at the same time, because if something were to happen to both of them, the country would be in a mess. Of course, it couldn't be much more of a mess than it is right now with either one of them. The rumors, and this is an article from the U.S. Reporter, and it says that rumors swirling say that martial law discussions over a banking failure are the reasons. This is rumor now, guys. I'm not saying this is real. For the reason, I almost hesitated to bring this into this discussion today, are the reasons that President Obama and Vice President Biden are to meet with the Fed Chair Yellen today after the Federal Reserve's emergency meeting this morning. In the history of the United States, it has never taken place that both the President and Vice President has met unexpectedly with the Federal Reserve. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Speculation is already flowing all over Washington that it may have something to do with the survival of the government. You know, here's what's also interesting. It says Tuesday and Wednesday, the G20 finance ministers and central bank governors meet in D.C. for the whole G20. That's big now. And on Thursday, the IMF and World Bank meet in D.C. as well. So something wicked, it says, this way comes very soon, within the next few days, it says. Next Tuesday, this is what you got up to, Austin. The Chinese are scheduled to announce their switch from the dollar to the yuan on Tuesday, April the 19th, which will send about $2 trillion in cash back to the USA and could possibly cause massive inflation and skyrocketing overnight. I don't think the $2 trillion coming back to the United States, I think that's complete nonsense because they own those bonds and those bills that they bought. There's no way they can cash those out. It's impossible because unless they have $2 trillion in cash, which they don't, have $2 trillion in cash. They've got the government instruments with that. That's why I was a little bit hesitant to read this article, because remember they don't have $2 trillion in cash printed. I mean, it wasn't done. It was done digitally, and it was done with bonds, with T-bills and treasuries. And so it's interesting. So this whole thing's really trying to blow the whistle. I think they're just trying to sell a bunch of gold or whatever. I don't know. But here's what I will say, is that this is really strange to me. And yes, gold did have a big spike, and so did silver yesterday, but then it flattened right back out today and dropped back off some. So I don't know what's going on with all of this. I've heard that the government's going to close down and all hell's going to break loose, which it did in 2007. It did do that. I mean, we were literally days away from a complete collapse of the entire financial system. But the truth of the matter is the entire financial system would not have collapsed. And we probably should have let the big banks that went down, and we had to bail out for trillions and trillions of dollars because of stupidity. We probably should have let those collapse, because by now there would have been other banks in place that would have been stable, and we should have gotten rid of the derivative exposure that we have. The problem that we have, because the United States has been the petrodollar reserve currency since the early 70s, and we got rid of Glass-Steagall, and we've allowed these banks to go 40-1 against the reserves they have in stock as far as loans they put out. We have very little dollars that have been printed against the huge amounts of digital currency that are out there. And so this thing is a house of cards. I mean, a good gust of wind, you know, probably a little puff of wind with the Chinese yuan doing what it's doing, could make a big mess. But the Chinese, there's no way they're going to be able to dump $2 trillion worth of dollars onto the international markets. That's stupid. I don't even know why an author would say something like that. It doesn't exist. But they could dump the currencies. No. See, and the thing about it is, this is what happened already. China's already dumped $1 trillion of these bonds back into the market. They were quickly brought up by the Exchange Stability Fund, which basically cashed them out of it. And China's been running around like crazy, buying up everything they can of the United States because they want to spend as much of their dollars as they possibly can before they do anything crazy like this particular thing says they're going to. But remember, this is a Rothschild-controlled bank in China. Don't forget that. This is important. It's in Russia, too. This was the whole thing where the Russian royal family was killed back, I think it was 1917, 1918, 1919, something like that, when they killed all those guys and the whole family were killed, the czars. And what's funny about this is that this entire thing is being played, again, with Russian and Chinese Rothschild banks, the United States Rothschild Bank. The whole thing is this, and I've said this 100 times in this show, and I'll say it 100 times and longer if I possibly can. Everything is because of the Rothschild banking system and the taking over of the United States dollar with the Rothschild currency in 1913 that have brought all of these woes to the United States. But it has also brought an unprecedented amount of free cash and currency and solvency into our system since the 70s, as we unlinked from the gold standard, which has allowed for the last 45, 50 years of unprecedented growth and prosperity in the United States also, until 2008 when the whole house of hard cards started to collapse. Now, the last 8 years, these bankers and these rich guys, this 1% or 0.1%, they've gotten much, much, much wealthier because of the derivative exposure they've had. And what's so funny to me often, it's not like a funny ha-ha, but a funny irony, is whenever this thing comes apart with them, they always shift it back to the other 99% who don't have anywhere near the money these guys have to make us pay for it. So it's kind of an irritant to me. They do this over and over and over again. But we're going to find out. Let's see what happens when the yuan comes out next week, if they really do this backed by gold. Because remember, if they do it, Austin, it's the Rothschild Bank doing it to itself. Okay? Because the Rothschild Bank runs the planet. If the Rothschild Bank of China does it to the Rothschild Bank of the United States, it's because they're trying to collapse the United States. That's the only reason they would do this. There's no other reason that they would do this. So I don't think it's going to be one. I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to be phased in, and I think people are going to be allowed to swap their dollars out for yuan. And, of course, what's going to happen is the yuan is going to go up so hard as far as the value of the yuan that the Chinese exports coming into this country are going to get crushed because the price is going to go through the roof because our dollars won't be worth as much. Okay, there's a lot of stuff happening here all at once that you've got to take a look at. So always use a grain of sand when you start looking at this kind of stuff. And maybe these quote unquote, that's why this article starts off, it is rumored that. Well, whatever, man. You know, that's why I don't deal in rumors very often. I do a deal in fact. But here's what I do know. The gold and silver that many of you have purchased will retain its value for generations to come. It always has. It's the one thing as far as currency or monetary base or dollars or whatever you want to do that maintains its value. What would you call it? You should call it a commodity. It's a commodity. Now, it used to be a currency. You know, it used to be a real currency, you know, which the people traded and exchanged as currency. But since that all ended in 1933, you know, 1934, they seized it all in the United States. It hasn't been used like that anymore. If we had kept that system, we would have still had growth, and we would not have had the unprecedented banker greed and banker bailouts and all this unprecedented growth in these financial sectors. And quite frankly, I'm going to tell you this right now, the vast majority, I'm not saying all of them, but over 90%, probably 95% of all financial planners that I've ever met, 95%, because there are some good ones, but 95% of them are steeped in greed. And all they care about is getting your money so they can invest it in things that you probably don't need to get big, huge commissions, like whole life insurance. And the nuttiest thing about all of this is that people don't understand this, and they constantly trust these guys. I remember your grandmother, Austin, just a few months last year, she didn't ask me about it. She had some guy come over and scam her into a 15-year payout on these bonds and stuff that she was buying with a huge penalty for the first 8 years, and she's 80 years old. be the stupidest thing I've ever seen anybody sell her. And they knew what they were going to do. They got a huge commission from it. And now she's run out of cash, and she's had the cash about out with almost a 40% penalty because she has to pay this guy's commission back. And see, this is what the majority of these guys do. Not all of them, but 95% of them are crooks. They're crooks. I'm telling you, they're crooks. They're crooks and they're thieves, and they don't have your best interest at heart. And that's what so many of the banks are the same way. And you guys, I guarantee you the vast majority of you know this already. The majority of the banks in this country will not loan you money when you need to borrow money. They will say no. But they'll come to you and try to get you to borrow money from them when you don't need the money. It's the nuttiest thing I've ever seen. So banks in general are crooked, crooked, crooked organizations because of what they do with fiat currency and how they make money out of nothing. And the Rothschild Bank is the worst of the worst, and it should have never been allowed to come into our country in 1913. And Andrew Jackson warned us about it. Thomas Jefferson warned us about it, Austin. And we still, these idiots, with Woodrow Wilson in 1913, because he was such a scumbucket that he got blackmailed, he allowed that thing to come in. And I tell you what, it's taken them 100 years, but they bankrupted the United States. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting. I know we discussed it a couple days ago. Remember, we were talking about chocolate. And I found this article, so I figured I would address it today. A company called As You Sow, they're a California-based health watchdog group, has just warned that some of your favorite chocolate treats contain unsafe levels of heavy metals, including lead and cadmium. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. They took 50 different cocoa samples were obtained by the group and analyzed by an independent lab. More than half of them contain lead and cadmium levels exceeding California's limits. Now, California has very stringent limits, much stricter than even federal guidelines as far as what can be in it. But again, my next question is, well, how much lead and cadmium do you want in your food? Those are pretty known toxic compounds. And they went on here and they said, we assume that companies were testing these products before they put them on the market, but they're not. The As You Sow group won't disclose the exact amounts of heavy metals they found in the samples, which I don't really understand why. They said it hopes to work directly with manufacturers to pinpoint the sources of the cadmium and lead. So I really wish they would have addressed it and actually said how much is in it, you know, micrograms, pictograms, whatever they were coming up as. But guys, I mean, we're talking a whole list of stuff here. The endangered species chocolate, Ghirardelli, Hershey's, Godiva, Ritter Sport, Kraft, Mars, Kroger, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, I mean, all the way down. Now, granted, a lot of these are very specific chocolates, like the Ritter Sport was the Ritter Sport 73% cocoa fine extra dark chocolate with fine cocoa from Ecuador. And we talked about yesterday, again, one of the main reasons why we're seeing this is because the massive pollution that you see in a lot of these countries, especially down in South America, and the still active use of leaded fuel in all the vehicles. But this is definitely kind of waking you up as far as the whole idea of eating chocolate. And especially, I mean, when you're seeing almost every, I mean, even Theo chocolate, they're organic, fair trade, pure 85% dark chocolate, the Theo chocolate, contain cadmium in it. No lead, though. So it is definitely interesting. So I wanted to address that since Dad brought up the other day and let you guys know that we weren't exaggerating or making this stuff up. This stuff's in a lot of chocolates.
Well, no, it is. It really is. And in fact, you know, chocolate is just not a health food product. It's just not.
No.
You know, and you know, we try to get our, everything we have has been tested for heavy metals, like our chocolate proteins and stuff like that. But the reality is, I mean, you know, this stuff is, it's hard to get the stuff out of all of this stuff because it just comes out of Ecuador. And again, all the leaded gas just kind of lands on the leaves and all the cocoa pods. And so, yeah, so we've talked about this repeatedly. And like Austin said, we don't make this stuff up as we go.
No.
Here's another interesting. 10,000 Al-Nusra militants are surrounding Aleppo, a plan to blockade the city, according to the Russian military. Apparently, this is in Russia. An Islamic group, Jabhat al-Nusra, has gathered nearly 10,000 troops around the city of Aleppo, according to Russian military officials. However, they denied an earlier claim by the Syrian government that they had planned to take part of an assault on the city. Despite progress achieved in securing a ceasefire, because this is not Russia, this is in Syria, Turkey continues to funnel men and arms, said Lieutenant Rusky, head of the operations of the Russian General Staff, at a scheduled press meeting in Moscow. Turkey has really kind of turned into a rogue state now, and I got a feeling that they're going to be taking this guy out of power pretty quick, especially since they've already called our citizens back from Turkey and southwestern, southeastern quadrant. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, this one's interesting. Now, the United States Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has now recently ruled that police officers can lie to suspects in regards to a traffic stop, when no violation has occurred. We've seen this happen repeatedly. Most of the time, most officers at least have a reasonable point for pulling you over. But now the Ninth Circuit State Court ruled this because there was a court hearing with an individual that was pulled over that they were surveilling for methamphetamine trafficking, and they told him that he changed lanes without a turn signal, and he didn't. So a lot of this stuff got appealed, and now it's come back now, and they have ruled that police officers can lie to suspects in regards to traffic stops. This essentially gives police officers carte blanche to stop anyone they want for absolutely no reason, merely acting on a hunch. According to the ruling, they state, so long as the facts known to the officer establish reasonable suspicion to justify an investigatory stop, the stop is lawful, even if the officer falsely cites as the basis for the stop a ground that is not supported by reasonable suspicion. We emphasize, however, that our focus is on the objectively reasonable basis for the stop, not the officer's subjective intentions or beliefs. The facts justifying the stop must be known to the officer at the time of the stop. The problem when you start giving officers just absolute openings like this and they can do whatever they want, it really reduces the chances of an individual or law-abiding citizen taking it to court and winning something that they basically were taken away. I mean, because our right is that we're free from unreasonable search and seizure, and essentially this is violated when you have a officer stop you for no legitimate purpose simply because he thinks you're suspicious of something and wants to turn it into something else. So I thought that was interesting. Another reason why you guys need to be aware of things as far as when you're being pulled over, make sure you understand your rights and everything that's going on around you, and never let them search your vehicle and never give them your consent to search your vehicle. So I figure I'd reiterate that again.
We don't want to get them tased. I know we have a friend of ours, a good friend of yours. You go riding with him all the time, and he's a police officer. And he told us, and he told me years ago, he goes, I had a real big problem with some of the Lakeland police officers about 5 years ago. And someday I'll tell you that story. And, and he told me that this, our friend, the police officer said, what you don't understand, Ted, is they can lie. He said, they lie all the time. In fact, it was so bad with what happened to me. I had an internal investigation done on it, and they lied under oath twice, and three of them ended up getting terminated, fired for what happened. And what was interesting about this is they never stopped lying. And so I talked to my attorney and I said, look, I said, this is stupid. So these guys are lying. And he started laughing. He goes, all police officers lie. It's what they do. They lie. He says, they lie to get you to try to say something that they can find to incriminate you with. He says, that's what they do. He says, they do it all the time. And it's considered ethical and legal for them to do that. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. He goes, no, this is what they do. He says, that's why you don't talk to them. He goes, Teddy, I've never had anybody who's come to me for help with a problem they've had with police or anything that's happened who have spoken to the police that benefited and helped their case. He said, the best thing you can do every time you get stopped by a police officer is to shut your mouth and give them your driver's license and don't say anything else and your vehicle registration and insurance card. That's it. Don't say anything else. Just say yes, sir, no, sir. Can't talk to the officer. My attorney's not here. That's it. That's all I got to say. He says, don't say anything else. The words don't come out of your mouth. You zip it and you shut up, is what he told me. He says, and I said, well, that's what I do. He goes, well, that's why, this is all nonsense. This whole thing's going to get dismissed and everything else. He goes, but this is ridiculous. And what happened, guys, is this. I'm just going to tell you because you're all praying, what the heck happened with Ted? They had a bunch of cops on a blind corner in Lakeland one day, and they were doing a seatbelt check, right? And so I come around the corner. I don't even see the guys, and I'm wearing my seatbelt, right? Well, apparently one of them that I didn't see waved me over. I didn't see him because I'm in a little short, little squatty little car. We have a bunch of lifted trucks and semi-trucks here in Central Florida. And so I drove over to the BMW dealership to get my car washed, and I was over there. I bought it used from them, but I allowed to get car washes there. And so I'm in there having some ice cream, and the cops come running in screaming and yelling at me that I didn't stop for this super seatbelt check, in which I had my seatbelt on. And they even told me that I had a seatbelt on. So that's how this whole thing got this big brouhaha. And then I was charged with not listening to a police officer. And I'm like, but I didn't see you guys. And it was a big mess is what it was. And that's, and I kept my mouth shut. And three of the guys ended up getting fired over it. Everything was dropped. But the point was, it was just, it turned into this giant brouhaha. And I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, I don't even, didn't even do anything. And they, but it didn't make any difference because they all lied the day of. But then when they got under oath with the doggone internal investigation, they suddenly changed their stories. And they all were lying, trying to cover their own butts. And it was ridiculous. The whole thing was completely and totally, everything was dropped and dismissed. And I, you know, it was just, it was a disaster. It went on for like a year of my life. I had to deal with these idiots until three of them got terminated. And finally, there was a huge investigation into the entire corrupt Lakeland Police Department, in which a whole bunch of other ones got fired. They were running sex rings out of the doggone precinct. It was ridiculous. A bunch of cops that were a bunch of lowlife, and I just happened to run into them one day. So that's the thing I'm trying to tell you guys. I've already been experienced with this. Austin's already been experienced with it. You just don't talk to them. You don't say anything, and you don't admit to doing anything. You don't do anything. You just don't say anything. Just zip it, and then it'll go a whole lot better for you, because I guarantee you, when they say to you, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, that's not a joke. They really mean that. They really mean that, and they will use it against you. And so, and this is the funniest part. This is the funniest part. I'm going to tell you the whole story now. I've already started the story. I might as well finish it. So I'm walking. I walked out there. They said, "Well, who's driving the white sports car?" I said, "That's me." And they said, "Put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest." This actually happened to me. And I said, "For what?" "Well, you went through a seatbelt check." I said, "Where's the seatbelt check?" "Well, we were on the blind corner over there." "Well, where were you guys parked? I didn't even see you guys." In the meantime, they throw handcuffs on me. This is no joke. Here I'm, 55 years old, international known speaker. I got handcuffs on me. I'm sitting in the back of the squad car. As I'm sitting in the back of the squad car yelling and hollering out the window, suddenly I look down, and I've got a 1911 Kimber in my front right pocket. They had not bothered to see if I had a gun. The hammer is back. It is charged and chambered, and I'm sitting in the back of a police car. And I'm like, oh, God, this is just going to go really seriously wrong. Well, they're running all these background checks on me, thinking that I'm like the world's worst person, but I've never had anything ever happen to me. I've never had any kind of thing like that ever in my whole life. So finally, the guy comes over, and I said to the guy, I said, "Look, you need to come here for a second." He goes, "What do you want?" And they said, "Well, you need to take this gun out of my pocket." And they said, "You got a gun in your pocket? You know, why haven't you told us?" I said, "I've been trying to tell you. All you're doing is yelling." And I said, "This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm sitting here having ice cream with my son. I go through a seatbelt check." And I said, I'm wearing my seatbelt. And so they come over there and they give me like three or four different tickets. It was ridiculous. They give me my gun back. They tell me to leave. And then, but they charged me with not listening to a police officer, which was complete nonsense because they had to justify the stop. And the me not listening was me not seeing them on a blind corner. And so what was funny is that the whole thing got dismissed. It all got dropped. The whole thing got done. Three people got fired over this. But the reality was this. I experienced it. And yes, and I had my gun in my pocket in the back of a squad car. And I could not believe, because that's a very dangerous situation for me to be in.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, these guys are idiots. They're all idiots. It's like a bunch of Keystone Cops. And of course, it was right at the exact same time that Lakeland had that huge thing hit on CNN where they were forcing women to show them their boobs and looking underneath the boobs. I mean, I'm making like stripping parking lots and, you know, to show, I mean, ridiculous what they were doing. The same guys. And then luckily our Sheriff Grady Judd came in there and cleaned up that whole mess in Lakeland Police Department and got some good people in there. We haven't had any more problems since then. But I tell you what, guys, you think that these guys are normal and you think that they abide by the rules. Let me tell you something. They have a completely different set of rules than you and I do. They drive around 80, 90, 100 miles an hour in their squad cars with no calls, trying to go pick up their laundry to go get lunch or whatever. Nobody gives them a ticket. They won't give each other tickets. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. And they all lie and lie and lie and lie and lie to protect each other. And that's why when I got them dragged into internal affairs, they lied and lied and lied. And then when they said, you'll love this, they said, "We don't know how he got in the car with the handcuffs on. We didn't handcuff him." That's what they said. That's what they said. Under oath, as God is my witness, they said this under oath. "We don't know how he got in the car with handcuffs on him. We didn't search him. He just is in the car." Are you joking me? That nobody would admit. Nobody would admit to it. This is why they all got terminated. Nobody would admit. Then they had to go back to internal affairs again, and they had another full investigation, and they still covered for themselves. What a bunch of Keystone Cops in Lakeland. I mean, unbelievable. All because I'm wearing a seatbelt, and somebody waves at me that I don't see them. They're behind a blind corner, and I don't pull over. It happened to me 5 years ago, and I haven't even talked about it on the air, even on Hagman or Hodges, because I thought to myself, this is so stupid, I'm not even going to bring this up. But finally today, I thought I'd just go ahead and mention that to everybody. So unless you've been handcuffed and stuck in the back of a squad car, you don't know what that feels like. And you really don't know what it feels like unless you got a loaded gun in your pocket. And the guy says to me as he's pulling the gun out of my pocket, he goes, you have a permit for this? I said, of course, it's in my wallet that you guys have already taken. So it was an interesting experience. It was a really strange thing. I wasn't taken in or anything like that. I wasn't like, I didn't go to jail. But it was one of those things that was just a real nuisance for me. And they should have apologized for what they did, but they never did. Because, of course, they'll never admit they did anything, including putting me in the car. So it was an interesting experience. But also remembers when that happened. I was 55 years old. It was like a week after my birthday. It was just interesting. And I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. These guys have – I was going to sue them when I got dismissed and thrown out and all that kind of stuff. I was going to sue them. And I went to my attorney, and he told me that the state of Florida or wherever – or that municipality – only has $100,000 maximum liability that they could have on any case like that. And so the most you'd get, he said it'll take 3 to 5 years in court. The most you'd get, $100,000, they'd get like $60,000. So you'd get like $7,000 or $8,000 a year, for all the aggravation and depositions you'd have to go through. And he goes, quite frankly, Ted, he goes, it's really not worth it. He goes, you already got three of them fired over this and some other things that were going on in Lakeland. He goes, this is complete nonsense. This has ever even happened to you. So guys, it happened to me. I got to experience that. And I tell you what, it's something, if you've never had that happen to you, been handcuffed and thrown in the back of a squad car, you realize just how quickly you don't have any rights if they don't want you to have any. Am I right, Austin? Just that fast. Now you're locked up in the back of a car. You're like, what the heck did I even do? Sitting down having ice cream at the BMW dealership. Are you kidding me? But that's what they're getting my car washed. So it happens.
If you guys ever remember the story, I'm not going to go into it. I've already gone into it before with the shotgun incident where we got arrested for open carry of shotguns that were in a pickup truck doing nothing illegal at all. That was Lakeland PD again. And it was the exact same kind of deal. And it was about, a couple years before that incident with Dad. And so they had nothing but internal affairs case after another one, after another one, after another one for just unbelievably disrespectful, unconstitutional conduct against pretty much everybody in Polk County.
And the guy standing by the window with the talking to me, he finally looked at me and he goes, he let me out of the car. Because I was complaining so much. He let me out of the car and I'm standing there. And I said, dude, I said, you guys are going to internal affairs for this. And he looked at me and goes, look, I'm really sorry what they're doing to you. I had nothing to do with any of this. I did not handcuff you. I would not even be here right now. You've done nothing wrong. And I feel bad for you with the way they're treating you right now. He goes, because I've already been to internal affairs. And I don't want to go back. And he gave up because he was involved in it. He ended up back in internal affairs again. And see, this is the kind of nonsense that these guys get away with, Austin. And you wonder why people don't like police officers. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Of course, this all happens at the BMW dealership where a bunch of my friends work. I'm like, gosh, this is just crazy that I'm in the middle of this dealership now in their driveway, being treated like this. And of course, 20 minutes later, it was all over with, and I'm still standing at the BMW dealership with a handful of tickets, and I'm like, this is unreal. Happened to me, happened to moi, been there, done that. Interesting experience, taking me 5 years to even discuss it on radio. But I tell you what, guys, it was an eye-opener. It was an eye-opener. That's what I learned. You shut up. You don't talk to anybody. You just don't say anything. You just sit there. So anyhow, what's your next story, Oz?
We talked repeatedly about acetaminophen, which is the main ingredient in Tylenol, which is a painkiller, about its toxic effects on the kidneys, the liver, specifically the liver. Now, if you guys remember, last year there was an eye-opening study discovering that the over-the-counter painkillers like Tylenol and acetaminophen can actually blunt emotions like joy and excitement. Essentially, they're emotional numbers. This came out a while back ago if you want to look it up. And so now, a year later, another study finds that acetaminophen, which is the world's most widely used painkiller, dulls the brain's response to new information and the ability to adapt our behavior to our surroundings, a process what's going on around us. And so if you can imagine, this would not only affect brain function, but could also create a very negative domino effect in somebody's life. The new study by researchers at the University of Toronto, published March 2016 in the journal Social Cognitive and Affective Neuroscience, suggests changes, worrying changes to the brain, that is, the alteration of cognitive control, even following the recommended dosage of amphetamine, can lead to less response to uncertain situations and impede error detection. And this is interesting. It says the detected brain changes were small enough that people did not notice them, but large enough to cause problems in everyday functioning. And guys, this isn't a benzodiazepine. This isn't Xanax. This isn't an SSRI. This is instead of amphetamine. This is just a common, this is common Tylenol, your regular painkiller Tylenol that just about everybody has in their house, except for me. Well, except for Dad, too. I know he doesn't have it. So they said in here, it said it created poor error detection. While recent research has only begun to show how amphetamine stops pain, some behavioral studies have shown slight cognitive impairments on this drug. It is likely because the area of the brain that perceives pain is the same one involved in social pain, for instance, rejection or embarrassment. An obvious question is, if people aren't detecting these errors, are they also making errors more often when taking amphetamine, like taking more amphetamine? And so it goes on, the whole article, you can read it on there if you want. It's the, like I said, University of Toronto published it last month. And it goes into detail about how they used test subjects and then gave them amphetamine and had them push a button F on the screen or not hitting the button if E appeared on the screen. And people were actually having less refluxes and less proper push buttons on this whole test they did, went into extreme detail. So it's not only a pain reliever, it not only wrecks your liver, it's not only an emotional reliever, but it also messes up error detection and how to fix problems and basically cognitive skills. I had no idea this stuff was this toxic, guys. I've always been very, very outspoken about the dangers of it, of how unbelievably horrible it is on your liver and how toxic it is, but now it actually has very significant health impacts on your brain and cognitive health. This is something you guys just need to stay away from. I don't recommend it for everybody. I never have. Now I really don't recommend it for anybody at all, ever.
Well, no. This is the Tylenol destroys your liver. If you go out and you don't listen to us, and you go out and or do it at home, and you get drunk on Jack Daniels or whatever you want to drink, and then you take 4 or 5 extra strength Tylenol the next morning, you're going to need a liver transplant probably in 3 or 4 days because your liver is going to just shut down on you. It's that poisonous. It's the number one cause of liver failure in the United States. This product is so poisonous, Tylenol is, that it should never even have been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. It's that bad. I mean, acetaminophen is so bad, and it's in almost all these children's formulas. And here's just the icing on the cake with the Food and Drug Administration, the failed department of whatever they want to be, okay? Here's the problem I've got with these guys, right? They allow people to use products like NyQuil, right? Which mix alcohol and Tylenol together. It's on the label. And then it says in the next paragraph, has a big warning box, and it says, warning, overuse of this product can cause permanent irreversible liver failure. Okay? Because it's mixing the very thing I just told you, alcohol, which is like, this is ethanol, remember? This is like Jack Daniels in this bottle. Okay? With Tylenol, and they're never supposed to be put together in the same compound. This is like NyQuil and the over-counter flu things. And this is why I've written about this extensively on my website. We send these emails out on this stuff warning you not to use this. It's that poisonous. Irreversible liver failure. And if you just take it, Austin, even if you don't drink with it and you take too much of it, it causes liver failure. You know, our buddy Jim Crowder, he had a friend of his, a friend over in Lakeland, who he knew really well, who had back surgery, and he started hammering the Tylenol, and within 30 days he was dead from Tylenol. It killed him, from liver failure. I mean, this is some crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that people put on their bodies every single day. It is super, super poisonous, and you're absolutely right, Austin. I don't have it in my house. Now, I do have some aspirin here. I've got that. And I use it upon occasion because it's such an incredible blood thinner. You know, I don't want to put it in my body very much because it can actually cause wet macular degeneration and cause the retina to detach from the back of the eye. So you don't need that. So you got to be really careful. That's why you should never take, in my opinion, an aspirin a day. If you're going to be trying to thin your blood because you want to reduce your risk of stroke or cerebral vascular incident, you need to be taking cod liver oil and vitamin E every single day. It'll have the same effect, but it doesn't cause the retina to detach with wet macular degeneration, which is now affecting so many people, Austin, all over the United States, because almost everybody takes an aspirin a day. Plus, it can cause intestinal bleeding. It can cause macular degeneration. It's just not something you want to be taking aspirin on a daily basis. It's not. We've got out here in Central Florida, and Florida in general, they sell, we have what they call BC powders. Now, I will say something about a BC powder. It has aspirin and caffeine in it. And if you get a really, really bad headache, it'll knock the headache out almost immediately. And it does it in two ways. With the aspirin is one way. Number two, the caffeine. Caffeine causes vasoconstriction of the arterioles that feed the brain. And then, in other words, they get smaller. And what happens, let's say you're addicted to coffee and you drink it every single day, and suddenly one day you don't get your coffee, you start getting a really bad caffeine headache. The reason that happens is that caffeine constricts those blood vessels in the brain, and when you don't get it, they expand, causing cranial pressure, giving you a caffeine-induced headache. And the only thing that will get rid of one of those blood-curdling headaches is if you take like a BC powder, because it'll cause constriction of those arterioles again, and the aspirin will get rid of the headache. But you should only use those if you absolutely, absolutely have to. Don't use them for any other reason unless you like have an emergency situation. Plus, also remember, there are also BC powders out there that have Tylenol and aspirin, and other ones that have just Tylenol, you know, and caffeine. This stuff is poisonous. Don't put Tylenol in your body. In fact, in my Breakthrough Health book, it lists Tylenol as one of the top 10 over-the-counter drugs never, ever, ever to use because it's that poisonous. It really is that bad. Anything else you want to add to that, Oz?
No, that's very accurate. The BC powders, if you guys ever are interested in getting them, not that I'm trying to promote them, I don't, but they're the blue box. I think the green ones and some of the other ones have Tylenol like that, so stay away from those. But yes, I always have a BC powder box at the house, not that I use it very often, but it is good to have on hand for a situation. And aspirin's good to have on hand too, guys. If there's ever a situation, we have some type of, apocalyptic situation or anything fails, you know, having just some basic medicines like that on hand is really, really good idea. They're cheap, they're easy, they really don't go bad at all. And just having a bottle of aspirin just as a backup, you know, supplement in the house in the event that something breaks down, in my opinion, is definitely a good thing to have in the house.
No, that's exactly right. In fact, you know, don't keep Tylenol in the house. That stuff is really, really bad. If you're allergic to aspirin, you have to find something else. Okay, but because some people are allergic to aspirin, so be careful. And plus, don't give aspirin to young children because it can cause Reye syndrome. Here's another one from MSNBC News. It says the U.S. is dropping bombs quicker than it can make them. Of course, when we start sending three tons of weapons to ISIS, Austin, it has a tendency to go through our supplies pretty fast.
Yeah.
Ongoing air wars in the Middle East have caused an unexpected dip in the Pentagon's stockpile of air-to-ground munitions. In other words, we're running out of bombs. And Washington has been slow to readdress the supply problem because they're broke. They've already spent $1.5 trillion on an F-35, which was a disaster, which if anybody believes they spent $1.5 trillion on that plane, I got some more land to sell you in swampland somewhere. I got to find it for you. Because the truth of the matter is, I personally believe that $1.5 trillion or most of it went into those deep underground military bases. There's no way they spent on that aircraft. The Pentagon has had months to deal with it. We're spending munitions faster than we can replenish them. The USA Today quoted Air Force Chief of Staff General Mark Welch as saying in December, says the Secretary of Defense, Ash Carter, has asked Congress to include funding for 45,000 smart bombs in the defense of the department's 2017 budget, but it would take a while to rebuild the stockpile. Here's what's funny about that. They take these smart bombs that cost millions of dollars a piece, and they blow up a bridge that costs $100. Okay? Well, that really wasn't very smart as far as I'm concerned. They got a little pylon down there driven in the ground with a couple of telephone poles with racks across it. It says they throw a smart bomb on it for $1 million or $2 million to blow up a $100 bridge. I mean, Austin, really? Really? You know I'm right. I mean, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is what they do. This is the stupidity of all of this stuff. Oh, we blew up a little $100 bridge today. We spent $5 million on smart bombs. First three missed. We had to hit with the fourth one. Okay, well, there you go. You blew up the bridge. Next day, they build a $100 bridge back, and now it's back, and you're out $4 and $5 million. I mean, these guys are like, somebody's been sprinkling fairy dust on these boys or something. They think they've got these magical properties. These guys are a bunch of whack jobs, man, the ones who do this kind of crazy stuff. And they don't have any, they don't think at all about the incredible cost of doing this and the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we've spent now in the Middle East. And for what? For what? We could spend all of that money that we blew up Iraq with and blew up, want to blow up Iran and Syria and everything else over there. We've blown up Egypt, Libya, and we could literally rebuild the entire infrastructure in the United States. The entire infrastructure. All new bridges, all new highways, all new everything. All new plumbing for Detroit so they can get rid of the lead in their water. All of that money could have been spent to rebuild the United States. What do we have? We got a bunch of bombed out countries out of it that all want to kill us now. That's what we got for this. Are you joking me? That's what we got for this. And see, that's what's so stupid when you let the Rothschilds decide if there's going to be a war. If you let the Rothschilds decide there's going to be a war, they make a lot more money with war than they do with bridges and infrastructure, and these guys are so steeped in greed, they don't care about you or me or any of us. They just want power and greed, and they want to reduce the population of the planet. That's what their masters are telling them to do. So the greed's infected this entire country with these weirdos that worship these guys and do whatever they say for them to do. I mean, it's ridiculous, and I'll stop now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, apparently now the rape and the issues in Germany are getting so bad now. German police officers have been instructed to remove rape from the migrant assault report. Local officers have produced an internal important event memo entitled Rape, Sexual Harassment, Theft Committed by a Large Group of Foreign People. According to the Cologne newspaper Express, officers received a phone call from the State Police Control Center ordering them to take down the report and delete the phrase rape. A senior Cologne police officer told Express he was informed of the order by a colleague who took the call, and the state police understood it was to be the wish of the state interior ministry. So this is interesting now. It's gotten so bad over there, and they're getting so many reports and so many claims and so many incidences that they're now telling them to delete the word rape out of it, because apparently they don't want all this stuff documented in the next 2 or 3 years when all this comes back and it's become even more horrific. They're going to say, why didn't you guys prevent this? Why didn't you stop this? They're going to say, we didn't have any incidences of rape. We don't have any reports of that. Here, look at our records. So this is interesting they're doing this to the population over there, but we've talked about it before. I mean, this is all about getting people acclimated to this type of behavior and forcing the entire world in this New World Order agenda, this completely steeped in Satanism, and that's pretty much what Islam is. It's just a different form of Satanism called a different name. So I thought that was interesting that's happening over there, but I feel bad for a lot of those people.
Well, I do too. And I'll be over there in a few weeks, and I'm going to be reporting from Europe again, and we're going to be talking about the finding about the migrant. I'll do the same thing I did last time. I'll go in behind the scenes. I'll talk to the locals, and I'll report them on the show that night. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to go over there and be able to talk to people and say, hey, look here, what's really going on here? Like we did last time when we were there last year. And so, you know, it just is what it is, guys. I mean, you know, we tell you all of this stuff, and then I go over there, and sure enough, the borders are closed from Czechoslovakia. You're going into Germany. The troops pull us over. I mean, I saw this. I mean, this isn't something I read in a magazine. I was there, and I saw it. I saw them all over the streets. I saw the marching and the protests. I saw all of that. Okay, here we go. Police State America wants everyone to carry their birth certificate to the toilet. Mass private. Last year. Multiple states have pushed bills requiring people to prove their gender before using a toilet. Some of these bills encourage people to report on each other and offer a cash reward for finding someone in the wrong bathroom using the wrong toilet. North Carolina is the first state in America to create a bathroom police force. The new law enacted in March bars people from using public restrooms that don't align with the sex on their birth certificates. The bill was passed by the state legislature in less than 10 hours and then signed by the governor the very same night with very little debate. Oakley says, and so it's incredibly poorly drafted. So incredibly poorly drafted, it leads to all kinds of consequences. Okay, you can't use the toilet now without a birth certificate or with a driver's license or something. I don't even know what to say about this, Austin. I guess because of all the transvestites running around, they want to make sure that, and the cross-dressers now, they don't want people using bathrooms with little girls that are full-grown men. And you know what's sad about this is that it's come to this. It's sad that it has come to the fact that we're having to have toilet police and bathroom police now, and we have to tell people to show proof of their gender before they can use the toilet. I don't even know what to say. I mean, do you have any comments about this? I mean, we that.
Well, I mean, it's there's two sides to it almost, because I mean, you have this one where it's like you have this Gestapo police state where it's kind of like, oh, you know, papers, please, to use the bathroom, which is nuts that we've even reached this. But on the other hand, too, it's kind of like, have we gotten to that point now where people are becoming so perverted? That, I mean, they're intentionally trying to use, and this is what I brought about months and months ago that a lot of people didn't agree with me on when I talked about this whole, this gender, transgender, whatever you want to call it, weird nonsense about going and using these bathrooms, is that what you're going to start having happen is you're going to start having these real sick perverts, all these people that just should not be exposed to children or really the opposite sex. And they're going to use this as an excuse to go into those bathrooms, and there's really no way to prove it, because this whole transgender thing is all about how you feel. It's all about, oh, I don't identify with a male. Even though I'm a male, I don't identify with it. I identify as a female. Biggest load of horse manure I've ever heard in my life, but that people are actually using that excuse. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't really know where else to go. I mean, granted, that's a police state out of control asking for a birth certificate, but I'm sure the people that are involved in doing that are probably complete and totally sick of it, and they're tired of seeing this happen all the time. That's the only thing I could imagine.
For those of you who are confused about which bathroom to use, if you look down between your legs and you have a penis, you use the one that says men's. And if you go looking between your legs and you don't have a penis, you look at the one that says women's. Now, if that doesn't settle this up for you guys and make this easier to understand, I don't know how to make that any more simple, Austin. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, maybe I'm complicating. I don't know. Here's another great article. Judge DiPaolo. Hillary is laughing at the FBI. This is from the Daily Caller. During an interview with Bill Hemmer on Fox News America's newsroom on Friday, DiPaolo argued that, in fact, Clinton does know that she's the target of the criminal investigation. Clinton has insisted the FBI is conducting a security review instead of an investigation. What she's done for the upteenth time in public is to send a whistle dog to the FBI, a signal to the FBI, DiPaolo says. She forgot they were watching. She knows it's a criminal investigation, and she knows she's a target of a criminal investigation. She knows the government has an extraordinary amount of resources investigating her, and she's laughing at them. Not a good thing to do. We know that they are at the end of their investigation because the second to the last thing they do is a call on the aides, which they did last week, he continued. And the very last thing they do is call Mrs. Clinton, which they will do the end of the month of May. He added, in fairness to the Democrats, they probably should know and should want to know whether or not the person they may nominate could become a criminal defendant. Now, I'm going to say this to you guys, and I know I'm going to get some backlash and some letters and emails on this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. The reason she's laughing is because she really believes that the United States is no longer under the rule of law. That's why she's laughing. She really believes that she can do anything she wants to do, including all of these murders that they were supposedly involved in back in Mena, Arkansas, and all of these people that mysteriously died in all of their dealings with the Clintons, like Vince Foster. And that list just goes on and on and on. So she's laughing because she's gotten away with all of these things, Austin, for the past 20, 30 years, and she's never gotten in trouble one time. Because whether you want to believe this or not, there's two different classes in our government now. The ones that can do whatever they want and they have immunity from law and from prosecution, and those who get nailed and get charged with everything. Okay? She's one of the former, and this is what she is. They have used her and put her, the Rothschilds have used her and put her in this high position in government because they have used her as an instrument to do their bidding. That's why she's there. She's being used by the Rothschild banking cartel to do their bidding. Now, if she turned on them, she would be instantaneously indicted for everything she's ever done, including breathe air, right? But she's not going to do that. You know, she's a fourth degree witch, according to Doc Marquis. They're Luciferians. She's a Luciferian. They're in that big secret club thing going on with the Luciferian stuff, and that's what they do. See, so there's no way they're going to indict her. And if they did indict her, number one, they need to find her not guilty, or Obama would instantaneously pardon her the way that President Nixon was pardoned by Gerald Ford, which cost a lot of people believe Gerald Ford the next election, because they're not going to allow themselves. Because remember, this insider club they have, this secret society club they have, I'll give these guys credit. They watch each other's back because they all know so much stuff about each other that not one of them wants the other person to go to jail for fear they're going to spill the beans on the rest of them. Or they would be suicided like Ken LaHaye was with the Enron cat scandal in the jail. All of a sudden he goes to the jail. He's going to be going to whatever. He's going to turn state's evidence. Suddenly he's suicided within a few hours after he goes into the jail. The body's immediately cremated. No autopsy is done. Are you kidding me? See, this whole thing reeks, and this is what this is all about. It's about complete and total lack of the rule of law. It's what Jimmy Carter said a couple years ago. He said, we no longer have a functional government in the United States as far as at the higher levels. Now, the state government still works. The local municipalities still work in most cases, unless it's the cops of the city of Lakeland. But other than that, I mean, we have a rule of law through all of these different districts. But the higher up, and this all started with Abraham Lincoln, and the war of aggression on the southern states, when the southern states had had enough of it, and they didn't want to deal with Abraham Lincoln in the northern states and having to pay all those tariffs. They had enough of it. They said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. You guys pay your own bills. We're out, which is perfectly legitimate. There was nowhere in their articles they had that the South could not leave the North. Nowhere. But Lincoln decided they were not going to leave, and he went out and killed almost half the population of the South to prove his point, including bringing in Hessians and mercenaries and everything he could to kill these people in the South, including letting Sherman march to the sea with a 60-mile-wide swath of destruction and rape and looting and pillaging and burning and killing everything from Atlanta to the ocean. This is what Lincoln did. And I can tell you what, guys, remember, my parents are from Germany. None of us were around here when all this was happening. My grandparents are from Germany. But by golly, I've read both sides of this war, and this was a war of northern aggression, and it was completely and totally uncalled for. But again, the Rothschild Bank instigated it because they wanted to make sure they put a Rothschild currency back into the United States because Andrew Jackson had thrown those boys out. And that's my take on it today. Guys, we forgot to talk about Health Masters. Healthmasters.com. Get our newsletters. Get our products. Thank you for supporting us. We thank you for the great emails we get about the show. We love you. We appreciate you. Remember, you get a free email from healthmasters.com. Go ahead and close, Oz.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. Email us or call us if you need anything at all. We'll be back on tomorrow, same time as always. You guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.